Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we're greeting you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we extend an invitation to you to come to Christ. Have you ever thought about whether or not you are saved and know it for sure that you are saved and that you're going to heaven when this life is over? When you die, you know that you will leave this life and go into heaven to go be with the Lord. You can know that, and you can know it for sure, for God Himself will assure you of your eternal destiny. The God whom you will meet can assure you on this side of the grave where you're going when you leave this life. No man has power to retain the spirit in the day of death. If we could, we would hold on to our souls and our spirits. We'd keep them from leaving the body, but we cannot. The Lord Jesus, when it came time for Him to finish the work that He came to do, He dismissed His spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He dismissed His spirit. He died unlike anybody else ever dies. You know the way that we are, we're made to live. And the Lord Jesus was born to die. So since we are made to live, we fight for life all the way. Even the person who takes his life still gasps for air. The Lord Jesus placed his life down and did not take it up again for 3 days. That's because he has power over life and death. And you can have forgiveness of sins from this Savior if you will receive him today into your heart and life. If you will accept God's gift of eternal life, God will receive you into His family. And God will no longer remember your sins. That's the blessed thought, that God will blot out our sins. He'll blot them out and remember them no more. You can have that clear, pure, simple gift, but it's not a cheap gift. It cost God His Son. It cost His Son His life. It cost His Son separation from the Father. That's what the Lord has done for you. And the gift is free. Receive Jesus Christ. Tell God you're sorry for being a sinner. Ask Christ to come into your heart and your life. Trust Him as the one who died to pay for your sins. And you want Him into your heart now. Ask Him to come in and He will save you. I know He will. That's the way He changed my life. Kneeling by a bunk at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, I called out to God and asked Him to save my soul, to forgive my sins, and to come into my heart and save me. He did it. He did it. That was in 1973, and He will save you. I want you to be saved. Christians want you to be saved. God wants you to be saved because He gave His Son that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if you will come to Christ, God will receive you into His family. It's a free gift. You can't work for it. You can't trade it off. You can't wait until you're good enough to be worthy of it. You never will be worthy of this. God is the only one who can make you worthy of the gift, and you're worthy of it when you receive it. But not until you receive it does God make you worthy of heaven. Your good works will never nullify, will never erase one single sin or make one thing right between you and God. Your good works will never do it. The way you have your sins blotted out is to receive Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask Thee today in Jesus' name and on the merit of Christ, Lord, that Thou wouldest save some soul, that someone would put their faith and trust in Thee to know what it means to be born again. This we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Let's go back to the book of Exodus, and today we'll start with chapter 38, in which we'll be looking at the brazen altar and also the laver. The brazen altar, it was the place where the burnt offering was offered. And this was something to be, the burnt offering was to be repeated day after day, twice a day, the morning offering and the evening offering, evening sacrifice and the morning sacrifice. And this was the brass altar, and it was made of bronze or brass, and fire was in this. Now, the Lord is the one who brought the first fire onto this altar and the sacrifice, and from that point on, the fire was to remain. Now, after this altar, there is the laver. Now, that was the place for the washing was to take place. In Exodus chapter 38 and verse 8, notice what the scriptures say about this matter. And he made the laver of brass, the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So the brass had been, all of the pieces of brass were brought in, and they were smelted, and then polished, of course, and the place where the laver was. And that's typical, that's appropriate for the cleansing, the place of cleansing. You want to see what you look like before God, look into the Bible. The Bible is a mirror. It shows us ourselves. As long as we're looking in the Bible, we can see what we look like before a holy God. And if we will accept God's message or accept what the mirror is showing to us and take the proper path for cleansing, we will be cleansed. But as James says so many times, we look into the laver, into the mirror, and we see what we see and don't like what we see. And so the way we get rid of that is turn the mirror over, turn the mirror away. I was telling my wife the other day, there is a hat that I wear, and she says, you know, I want to get you another hat. And I said, I don't mind my hat. I like my hat. And she said, well, I want to get you another hat. And I said, she said, I just want to get you a different one, a better one. I said, I don't mind this one because I'm under it. The people out in front of me, they're the ones who see it. And if I can't see it, it doesn't bother me. It keeps my head warm. Well, you know, we do many things like that. Just because we don't see certain things, we think, well, it's fine. Certain character flaws that we have, it's okay because I see them. Like I heard a lady saying this many years ago, talking about the face, her face. She said she was on the other side of it, and you were we're on the other outside of it, and she's behind her face. And so she doesn't see what it looks like until she gets in front of the mirror. And that's the way things are with us. If we don't see it, it doesn't look that bad. We don't think that much about it. But we must remember that the Lord would have us to see ourselves as He sees us. And the Word of God, God's truth, the mirror of God's truth, will reflect what God sees in us. And we'll see ourselves, of course, not in a good sense, but in a real bad sense. Now, also concerning this 38th chapter, the brazen altar, the laver, then there were the hangings enclosing the courts which in which the tabernacle was to stand. And it was the curtains. There, he made the court, and each side had its own dimensions, own hangings. Each had its own position that was to be held in place, and that done very carefully. And again, it was the Lord who had done this. Then, moving further concerning this tabernacle, there was gold and silver and brass, and all of these things were, all of this metal was given for the purpose of building the tabernacle. Verse 21 of chapter 38, this is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted according to the commandment of Moses for the service of the Levites. by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron, the priest. On the previous program, we mentioned that the cherubim that were on the end of the mercy seat, they were made of pure gold, beaten gold. And how that one man or two or however many the Lord used to construct these could do this with that kind of beauty and that kind of detail and to have it in their minds what to do is an indication of how God is working things using various stones. Now, we are the stones, living epistles, and the Lord is chiseling away things that do not bring forth beauty in his before him. And he is using various tools and instruments, because when the tabernacle, or the temple rather, was finished, there was not the sound of a hammer or an axe heard in it. All of the stones were prepared elsewhere before they were brought into the temple. Now, the Lord tells us that we are the body of Christ. Now, we are living stones, and the stones are prepared elsewhere so that when we get to heaven, there won't be any more work that needs to be done. Now, as long as we're here, there is work that is to be done in us by the Lord. And when we are made exactly like he wants us to be, and when we are exactly what he wants us to be, then not a moment sooner or later, not a moment too soon or a moment too late, we're out of here. And as long as we are here, there is something the Lord wants to do in us, and there is something he wants to do through us. So as long as we're here, we must remember that our work is to go on. Think of John the Baptist. When his work was done, he was executed at the hands of wicked men. And wicked men would be punished for that. But John the Baptist went on to be with the Lord. Look at our Savior, the Lord Jesus. When he finished the work, it is finished. He bowed his head and he died, gave his life over. Or think of James. He was beheaded. Peter was set free. Think of Stephen. These all did the Lord's work. And when their work was done, the Lord put them in their place with him, in his very presence. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, Stephen is stoned to death. And he sees the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. He sees into the spirit world. Yea, he sees into heaven. You see, when the Lord has it time for us to come home to be with him, there is no chance we'll lose our way there. I'm glad about that. I am glad about that. But just think of all of the directions we could go. North, south, east, west, through the earth, and in between. But I'm glad the Lord will see to it that we go to where he is. He places these stones in the place where he would have them to be. When he has finished his work with each person in his body, he brings us home. Heavenly Father, we pray that these words will comfort someone to know that the Lord our God is looking on and has a perfect plan to bring us unto himself at his own time. For Jesus' sake, amen.